shall deliver you out of my hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have to. Amen. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We knew what we was going to say before you ever asked us. And if you ask us 100 times, the answer would be exactly the same. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We don't have to. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1. Verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 1. Verse 7. Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah the king fell down through the lattice in his upper chamber, and he was sick. He was hurt. He sent messengers to go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether he should recover of his disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise and go up and meet the messengers and tell them he'll not recover. Verse 7, and he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to meet thee and told you these words? To meet you and told you these words. What manner of man was this? And they answered him, he was a hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it's Elijah the Tishbite. Again. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill, and he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of the 50, I don't have to. Amen. Praise God. If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain of the 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. The king said, come down. A captain of 50 said it. One of the greatest men in the world, a mighty warrior with 50 of his men, said, come down. He said, I don't have to. And the second 50 and the second captain came and said, the king said, come down quickly. And he said, I don't have to. Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, I know you don't have to. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. I know you don't have to. I want you to know I know you don't have to. Praise God. Let my life be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. Well, I want to try to preach tonight on I don't have to. I don't have to. I do not have to. Would you stand and pray again, please, that God will anoint us and help us. God, put this in the hearts of your people. God, by the mighty power of the Holy Ghost, put it down in my heart. Help me believe it and speak it and know it
have it to help and encourage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A few months ago, several months ago now, I was praying in that little motor home, a little chair right there by the door. That's where I usually pray. I was trying to pray. I wasn't doing much of a job. My thoughts were just swirling. My mind was just reeling. I said, God, I can't even pray. I can't seem to concentrate. I'm going around in circles. There have been so many things happen. I've got to places and been right in the middle of a big misunderstanding and folks angry with me, and I didn't do anything to any of them. They're all mad at me. I don't know. I don't want to go into a lot of it tonight. But there was tragedies that happened in the family. Oh, God, how awful. How horrible. Unspeakable. I said, God, I'm getting nervous, and I'm scared. I'm weak, and I'm tired, I'm sick, and I'm confused. I'm in a bad shape. I don't hardly know what to do. And it came out of my mouth. I said it. But I wasn't the one that said it. You know what I mean. You know what I said, don't you? I said, I don't have to. Praise God. And I know it's the Lord, because as soon as I said that, I didn't have to anymore. It is all lifted. It's raised right off of me. I said, Lord, I'm going on. I'm going to preach some more. If you'd help me like you help me right now, I'm going to enjoy it too. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the devil will oppress you if he can. And you can be oppressed if you will. But you don't have to. I said you don't have to. You submit unto God and resist the devil, he'll flee from you. That means to run away in fright. We ought not be scared of the devil. He ought to be scared of us. Amen. We ought not be afraid of everything happening in the world. We ought to say, thanks be unto God, it always causeth us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. Acts 10:34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the power of God, for God was with him. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I said, God's Bible said, the Lord said, the Holy Ghost said, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. I said, you can be oppressed of the devil, but you don't have to. Oppression, number two killer of teenagers in America, suicide. Number one killer of young adults in the United States, suicide. My old big cousin, just about the same age I am, had a shotgun to his head the other night, and his brother cried and pleaded with him a long time before he ever put it down. My cousin's little girl, OD'd, took a big overdose of dope and had to put her on. They went, rushed her to the hospital, and she had to put her on dialysis, and then the doctor said her liver was destroyed and looked like she was going to die in spite of everything. But the Lord touched her. The Lord helped her. I got a cousin that's been going to the psychiatrist now for years. Just the other day, three times, she tried to kill herself with dope. And the other day, they ran her down and tackled her. keep her from throwing herself under a train. 14 million alcoholics in the United States. 100,000 of them die every year from sickness, related sicknesses, related to their drinking, ulcers and cirrhosis of the liver and so forth. Tens of thousands more are killed in accidents caused by these people that's under the influence of this poisonous drug. A survey said that 1.3 million cases of cancer, new cases of cancer, are diagnosed every year. Plus 800,000, 1.3 million new cancer victims every year, plus 800,000 more diagnosed with skin cancer every year. Children from birth to the age of 14 years, number one killer, cancer. Another survey said the number one killer of younger children, child abuse. Physical sickness is something that's everywhere. But the Lord said, ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Now, sickness is caused by sin. But it's certainly not saying that you have sinned because you're sick. Sin in general brought sickness into the world. But there's a lot of good folks that's not sinning, that's sick. And I've been sick, and you may be sick, and you certainly can get sick. But I want the devil to know I don't have to. Praise God. Brother Lee Strickler said everybody has to go. Some people say everybody has to go with something. He said I'd a lot rather go with nothing. Praise God. I'd rather the Lord just take me, wouldn't you? Yes, glory to God. He can heal broken hearts. God sends his word and heals. The peace of God keeps hearts and minds. He can heal broken hearts and bind up the wounds. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He can heal souls. By his stripes we are healed. With his stripes we are healed. And by his stripes we were healed. Now Brother William Hill said, I don't know if I are healed or were healed. I just know I'm healed. Praise God. Do you know that with his stripes we are healed? Praise God. Did you know that the efficacy of the stripes that Jesus bore when God was incarnate in this world, the second person in the Holy Trinity, walking right here in human flesh, and he bore stripes in his own body, and the efficacy of those stripes is just as great and powerful, it's unchanged since the very day that a Roman executioner put those stripes on his back. Praise God, we don't have to. The devil said you have to. The world said you have to. The doctor said you have to. Praise God, principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, they all say you have to. God said you don't have to. Amen. Amen. Brought a little woman to Bond, Kentucky to the camp meeting. I think it said she had 3 weeks to live. She looked like it. She looked awful. Ate up with cancer and no hope. The doctor said you have to die. But they prayed for her that night. God said you don't have to. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. She went back to the doctor the next day after the camp meeting was over there. And the doctor said, I can't find a trace. Hallelujah. Who went and preached a revival in North Carolina? Homecoming. Homecoming day, they had a singing group. And a little lady that sang with them couldn't sing. She's too sick. She's about 20 years old and she's dying with cancer. And doctor said, we got to do this major operation. And there's no hope whatsoever. You have a family. You better just be hoping that you can live because you're in terrible trouble and you probably won't make it. And she got up and said, I want all of you to pray for me. Told us what the doctor said and cried and wept and held on to the back of the pew and stood there, I don't know how long, crying and weeping. Oh, she said, I'd love to have a normal life. I'd love to have children. I'd love to have a family. Pray for me. I said, why don't you come up here right now and let us pray for you? Praise God. We went back over to the same little old church. Praise God. And they had a singing group there again on homecoming day. And she came again. And she got up just as fine and shouted so long and so loud and so much, why, she had to go back in the foyer and shout while everybody else had church. She said, I went to the doctor after they called me up there and prayed for me. And he said, I can't find one cell. You absolutely cancer free. There's none anywhere. Praise God. I said, we don't have to. The devil's a liar. Always was a murderer from the beginning. But Jesus came and said, I come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Praise God forever. I said, we don't have to. Hallelujah. Well, my little sister had cancer, and she wanted to pray for her, and I said, come on up. And the doctor said, she's a young mother, and the doctor said, you're going to have to leave your little children. There's no hope for you. But the Lord healed her, and she's got two more now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Went down to Florida and preached to brother's pioneering a church in his garage. Went down there and preached 2 weeks and had a serious time of prayer. A little sister there in the church going for a biopsy the next day. And prayed, and the Lord blessed, and the Lord helped. And she went to the doctor, and he said, how can you do a biopsy when there's nothing to do a biopsy on? He said, bring all those records in here. He said, I want you to know we're not just trying to play some kind of joke on you or something. This is not some kind of sick joke or something. But he said, you don't even have any mass at all. There's no cancer or no tumor or nothing. But he said, bring all those test results in here. He put them on his desk here and here. He said, now here it is. You see it? There it is. And here it isn't. Here it is. Here it isn't. I said, here it is. Here it isn't. Praise God. God can speak it into existence and make it so. And God can speak it out of existence and make it not so. God still God. God still on his throne. God still almighty. God can still do the impossible. That's just as easy as the possible for him. Hey, God. Hallelujah. And doctor said, to save my soul, I don't understand it. I like that, don't you? I thought, Mr. Doctor, it'd save your soul if you did understand it. Glory to God. He said, to save my soul, I don't understand it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here it is. Here it is. Save my soul. I don't understand it. I was down there. We bought a little old shell of a house. Cinder block house. We're going to put new windows and doors in it. And the man was buying them off us. I said, I don't know exactly which one it is over there. I said, well, you know exactly. Pretty close where it is. You get over there, just look for the ugliest thing around. That'll be it. Lean. It looked pitiful. Got land there. It was improved, you know. Had city water and sewer right there in town for $14,000 for the whole mess. And I know it would have cost more if the old house hadn't been on it. We started trying to fix it up. I mean, I didn't know anything that little could be that much trouble. I was down there in July working, sweating, trying to build a retaining wall out of railroad ties, driving rebar through them with a sledgehammer and all this. And little sister, lady that lived diagonally across the corner there, I didn't even know she knew my name. She came out. She's a trembling. She's scared. She's in distress. She said, Mr. Houston. And looked over there and she said, come over here quick. Said, I think my sister's dying. Sister came to visit her from North Carolina, down there in Virginia. I went over there, and there's her sister. She's 75 years old. She slumped over sideways in that chair. Her eyes are set.
She's all slumped over, and I got a hold of her to straighten her up and push her head back, try to clear her air passageway. And she's cold, real cold. And I looked, and her hands are black almost. They're real dark. And I put my hand in front of her face and did like that. Those set, sightless eyes didn't move at all. I began to pray. Her sister said, "Pray, preacher, pray." I said, "God, this lady's sister here is old and sick, and I don't want her to die too. She's in terrible condition here. Help us, Lord. Help her. Help her be able to stand this. Help me, God, do what you want me to do." She's on the phone trying to dial 911, and she's so nervous she couldn't do it. So I'm talking to her, trying to calm her down. She said, "Calm down, sis. You can do that. That's easy. You can do that. Just steady yourself and do it." So she finally got it done. She came over there where I was praying, and she took her wrist and felt, and she began to scream, "Oh, my God, I can't find a pulse." I said, well, to myself, I said, no wonder she's been dead for a while. It's been a long time since she had a pulse. And then she got to looking at me, and I'm still trying to pray. I'm down on my knees right in front of her. She's in that chair, and I'm holding her up. And I'm looking in those dead eyes, and I'm crying. I'm trying to pray. And her sister said, "Pray hard, preacher. She's not saved." "Pray hard, preacher. She's not saved. Oh, God, please let her live long enough to have a chance to call on you."
Right.
She was in there looking like doing just fine. They walked down the hall, and she fell. And her sisters barely could help her enough to get in there and collapse in that chair. And she was gone. She said, "Pray hard, preacher. Pray hard, preacher. You pray hard, preacher. She's not saved. Pray hard, young man. She's not saved. Pray hard, brother. She's not saved." I sat there and looked at her. I prayed as hard as I could. I said, "What's her name?" She said, "Helen West." I said, "Helen, in the name of Jesus, you live. Helen, in the name of Jesus, you breathe. Don't you die. Don't you go to hell. Don't you leave us here. Don't you let you break your sister's heart like this. In the name of Jesus, live." I was looking at Helen, and all of a sudden she went, and the devil said, "Don't pay a bit of attention to that. You've seen lots of folks do that while they're dying. Don't pay a bit of attention to that." I said, "I'm paying attention to it. I saw it, God. Would you help us a little more? Helen, in the name of Jesus, I'm saying you don't have to. You don't have to give up. You ask him to come to church 100 times and look like he's farther away from it now than he was the first time. Thank God, ask him again. Go somewhere and fast and pray and tell the Holy Ghost on him and get Holy Ghost conviction on his life and ask him another time. Say, God, have not me to talk to him. Do you have to listen to me?"
Come on.
I prayed a while longer, and Helen sitting there, him eyes just as dead. I mean, you could tell, sit, just staring, not moving, doing nothing, cold, not breathing. Oh, God. And all of a sudden again, she went, "The devil said, I done told you, don't pay no attention to that. They die like that." I said, "I am paying attention to it. Help us, Lord. Praise God." We prayed a little longer. Praise God. And I saw Helen go, "Hallelujah. Glory to God." I said, "God, are you going to do this?"
Amen. With the little pitiful thing might be being here to witness it. Are you going to do this right in front of my eyes? Thank God I know I don't have nothing to do with it. I couldn't heal a fly with a broken wing. I can't do nothing. Great God in heaven. But I know you can put life in dead bodies. I've been reading it in my Bible. I've been preaching it all over the country. I'm asking you, God. I'm asking you, heaven. In the name of Jesus, live.
He started breathing real shallow, real weak. She's breathing. She breathed a few times, and the rescue squad finally got there. They came in. They got a hold of her. They checked her vital signs. Oh, they said she's bad. She's real bad. We got to hurry. They jerked her up. They throwed her on that gurney. They jerked it around, knocked the coffee table over almost, and they jerked her through the door, and her arm caught on the door facing. We got to rush. She's bad, bad, bad. I said, my Lord, you think she's bad now? You ought to have been here about 15 minutes ago. Hey, man, you'd seen how bad, bad, bad was. Glory to God. I went to church at Richland Tabernacle on Sunday morning, and I went down there at the hospital after church, and I said, Helen West, and he said, 314. I got on that little elevator and went up there, walked over room 314. If they hadn't told me where she was, I thought, sure, I was in the wrong room. I walked in there, and I just jumped back. I said, my, you look a lot different than you did the other day over there at your sister's house. She said, that's what they tell me. She said, I'm a feeling good. I'm a wanting to go home. Praise God forever. I tell you, there's nothing. He's still the same God. There's nothing hard for him. Everything's just right. He does all things well. He is way. He's perfect. He's God in heaven. He's God in the earth. He's God under the earth. He's God everywhere. He's the sovereign of the universe.
Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Huh? You don't have to. Jesus asked Martha, believest thou this? I'm going to ask you, believest thou this? They tell me that there's an old brother down there in Virginia. Brother Al Fortin told me which creek and which fork and all about it. Which river, I mean. And told me right where's that. And he said a man by the name of Brother George Lowe, God told him to go pray for his sister. She's dying. He said, go over there and pray for her. I'll heal her. Well, Brother George got out and walked over to his sister's house, and he got to the river, and it's all up out of its banks. It's just a raging, white capping. I mean, flooded. He said, God, I just knew that you told me to go over there and pray for my sister and you'd heal her. But now, I'm going to have to go back home. No way in the world I can get across this river. God said you don't have to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, I can't get across. He said, step out on the water. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, I read it in my Bible. I believe it. Amen. Brother Jimmy Lamb said the Lord told him to go preach a meeting 26 miles away, and he got in his old car, started over there and had much more, and got started and had a flat tire, and there he was, no spare, no way, I mean nothing. He said, God, I thought you told me to go over there. God said I did. He said, I can't walk it, I can't make it. He said, God, come right down and fix the flat and put air in it, and he got back in the car and drove on over there and preached the meeting. Well, you say, I don't believe that. I do. You believe any mechanic in town can do it? Do you think they're greater than my God? I don't. Praise God. I don't think you have to give up because the river's flooded. Brother George said, I stepped out on that water. I walked all the way across and went to my sister's house. My shoes never did get wet above the soles. Glory to God. If he can do that for Apostle Peter, he can do it for anybody, can't he?
I said, we still got the God of the Bible, don't we? Did your God ever change? My God said, I am the Lord. I change not. I am the same. I remain the same forever and ever. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Well, I don't believe it. Well, his sister got healed. And she was dying. I just feel like he walked on that water myself. I know my God can do it. Not a doubt in the world. Amen. Doubt and depression and fear. God gives a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. My cousin went to those psychiatrists for about 8 years now. She's attempted suicide 4 times already. And they have to watch her all the time, keep from doing it again. And I came to Jesus, and I never even thought about it. I came to the great physician. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me not to have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you. Not seeing the sun or the moon in 14 days. In the midst of a great storm, dark day and dark night. And Paul said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. What do you mean, be of good cheer? We're scared to death. It's the worst storm we've ever seen. We've been sailing for years. This is the longest and the worst. This is the darkest time. This is the awful. This is the most perilous time we've ever seen. You know we've got to be, have to be scared. We have to be discouraged. We have to be downhearted. Paul said you don't have to. I exhort you to be of good cheer. He's coming soon. There's no doubt. I'm going to leave this whole world with a shout. This is the worst storm that's ever hit the world. This is the death throes of the serpent.
I killed a snake. Some folks down there in the mountains of Kentucky handle them. I did too. With a hole. I mean, it's swarped like a switch, you know. And that little snake, just, I mean, a tenth that much would have killed him, but it was just overkill, you know, because I don't like him. And there he was, hanging on that stick, just limp, just lifeless looking. And I had a big fire going there where I was burning brush, and I throwed him in it. He started moving so fast you couldn't hardly keep your eyes on it. I thought, that's what the devil's doing now. This is the last of him. This is his last hurrah. It's over for him. He knows it. It's close. Closer than you think. My Lord. Things happening in this world. Unbelievable. They got a place in New Mexico that they produced electric power. They can't sustain it yet. But one place with this fusion, atomic fusion, particle acceleration, they produced 10 times as much power as is produced by all the power plants in the entire world. A man on the radio said he built a rocket engine 10,000 times more powerful. He said it was big as a watermelon. Had 10,000 times the power of that 5 million pounds of fuel in that rocket that boosts the space shuttle into space. He believes when they perfect these electromagnetic fusion containment rockets that man can fly very close to the speed of light. You know how they're going to call out the kings of the world and their armies to fight against the King of Heaven? They will actually believe they can whip him. He said at those speeds, that rocket could fly through this church and fly through you and not change you in the least. Because at those speeds, matter is energized. I don't know about these things. I don't know about these things. But I can feel something inside about these things. The Lord's fixing to come. I said, the Lord's fixing to come. Amen. Would you stand on your feet and shake somebody's hand and say, Maranatha? I got a whole lot more I could preach, but I done preached enough. The devil said the church is going down. The homos is taking over. The devil's taking over. Wickedness, all the world lies in wickedness. It's taking over. Praise God. God's still in control just as perfectly as he's ever been. Praise the Lord. The Antichrist will arise and he will be the brightest light that the devil's ever had. But when the Lord comes, his light's going to be so bright that just the brightness of his coming will destroy the devil's greatest disciple that's ever arisen. He'll destroy him with the brightness of his coming. I said he'll destroy him with the brightness of his coming. He'll destroy all his armies with the sword that proceedeth out of his mouth. And that sword is nigh unto you. It's even in your heart. It's in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The devil said you have to be depressed and discouraged and downhearted over all this that's happening. You've got to be perplexed. You've got to be in despair. God said you don't have to. Jesus said when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Praise God, your redemption draweth nigh. Look up and rejoice. Would you reach up? He's reaching down. Would you reach up? Would you look up? He's looking down. Praise God. He's about ready. Praise God to come and take his children home. Glory to God. Well, you know you have to. No, you don't. No, you don't. Praise God. I'll just throw in the towel. And no use fighting now. The enemy's forces are too, got us outnumbered too much. No, they don't. We still got the majority. We're still on the winning side. Hey, man, this church is not going down. This church is going up. Hallelujah. I said, this church is going up. Hallelujah. I said, this church is going up. I said, this church is going up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. Hallelujah. Are you expecting it? I think that's what you preached about, wasn't it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can't somebody say glory to God? Do you believe he still inhabits the praise of his children? Do you think Jesus comes to every service where two or three are gathered together in my name? There am I in the midst. Do you think he still got all power in heaven and in earth? Nehemiah, you got to come down. No, I don't. I'm doing a great work. I can't come down. Said, you got to come down. I don't have to. He said, he sent to me four more times. Answer was the same every time. I don't have to. I don't have to. I don't have to. I don't have to.
and they said to me the fifth time, and I said, I don't have to.
The devil told you had to, didn't he? What are you going to tell him? I don't have to, you liar. He just come tell me you're not saved. You've been too bad. You've done too much. Look over there. Look back there. Look out here. You're not saved. I'd worry about that. That'd discourage me. That'd get me down almost sometimes. I'd go over there and that holiness preacher would preach the truth of God to me. I'd get all built up. I am too saved, devil. Go back to work and work a couple of days, riding 180 miles a day to work and back, working 10 hours, get wore out up there on that hill all alone, and the devil coming and saying, you're not saved. You can't be saved. Look what you thought about 30 minutes ago. But after a while, I had an answer for him. I found it in my Bible. He come and he said, you're not saved. I said, tell me again, Mr. Devil, you liar. Keep on telling me all you want to. Every time you tell me, it'll make me know I am, because the truth's not in you. You can't tell the truth. Praise God. I'm not worried about what you got to say. You talk all you want to, but talk to somebody else. Just get out of my truck. God bless you. I don't want to weary you and hold you too long here. How about I was down there and I got saved. Right in the nick of time before I went to hell, I got saved. The Lord delivered me. And we rode there to work and back, and there wasn't no holiness church around there. I had to drive a long ways to go to holiness church. It just wasn't time on work days. And a lot of time, 14 Saturdays that summer, worked 6 days a week. Been saved about 3 months, and the devil come to my house. I let down on my prayer life some. I wasn't reading my Bible as much as I did. We was going by that old nightclub where I used to work every day. And I look over there, and all them buddies and everybody's over there. And the devil's talking to me about it. And he came one night. Oh, I hadn't even thought about this, but it's on my heart. You bear with me, I won't tell you. I was back there in the bedroom in the end of the house. You have to go out of the bedroom, down through the hall, turn the corner through another door, and there's the living room and the front door. And he came in the front door, and I saw him when he came in, and I was in the bedroom. Laid up in the night. And he walked over there through the door and started walking down the hall. I'm getting scared because I'm afraid. I'm scared. He's getting closer and closer, and I'm drawing up. And he walked through my bedroom door, and I saw him. Blackness, darkness, evil. He walked over there beside the bed, and he grabbed my arm so hard, it hurt. He said, come go with me, you fool. You had it all. Now you're throwing it away. Come go with me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I said, I don't have to. I don't belong to you. I know I'm not doing what I ought to be doing right now, but I just feel it in my heart. I still don't belong to you. You can't do nothing with me. Jesus is still with me. He started cussing me, calling me all kinds of filthy names. But he's backing up while he's doing it. I said, you're going the right direction now. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. I'm free. I almost had it all. You almost had me right in the middle of hell. I almost got it all. But the Lord saved me and delivered me. Glory to God. Well, he turned around. I said, you're going the right direction now. You know how you got in here. You go out the same way, but go a little faster than you came in. Praise God. Before he got out the door, I was standing up beside the bed saying, glory be to God. Get on out of here, devil.
Get on out of here, Satan. Don't ever come back. I'm not going to look that way no more. I'm not even going to think about it no more. I'm going to pray to God, sanctify me holy.
Went over there 75 miles across three mountains. Hard drive. In less than 2 hours, I'm standing here trying to sing with up in the choir with the saints of God, feeling good. And the Lord comes and said, go down there to the altar and pray. I said, God, all of them to sing, and I'm singing. It's not time to pray now. I kept singing a little while, and he come back and said, go down there and pray. Yeah. Well, I said, Lord, I don't want to be different than everybody else. I pray when they pray. Amen. He came back a third time and said, go down there and pray right now. And I said, I will, Lord. I don't care what the rest of them do it. I went down there and knelt down, had much more. I just started crying. I couldn't hardly say nothing. I felt so good. I mean, glory to God. And all of a sudden, God just opened up heaven and a big old tub of honey come down.
Call to the remembrance of the former days in which after you were eliminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. But I just want to preach a little while on the part up in the top where it says call to remembrance. I want to preach a little while on something the Lord's been dealing with me on the memories and expectations. And we're getting ready to say goodbye to 97, hello 98. And I've been thinking, this is one of the best years I've ever served.